Hello, la, internet amigos. Today's date is the Friday, January 21st, 2022. It's 3:04 p.m. Central Standard Time, south of the American border. We're going to talk about the formation of the United States of Europe, Alexander Dugin, and the fourth political theory and the multipolar world order as we see it shaping. Again, this will be another grand strategy look. I'm really going to focus a lot on the big picture. Otherwise, we're going to get lost in tactics every day. There's so much going on. Ukraine invasion. Will he invade? Will he take a small chunk? Put it this way. If Vladimir Putin does invade the Ukraine, he will have full permission to do so. Full permission. Taiwan is looking very shaky. A year ago, the stuff that's going on right now is pretty crazy. It's very, very crazy. And it appears that it's even possible that war in some form could be on the way, but let's put it this way, the threat of war could be on the way. And that, you know, what would Michael say?
Well, holy smokes, everyone.
Well, indeed he would say that. I'm not even going to make any predictions because remember what we've said before we get onto the United States of Europe and Adolf Hitler's favorite subject. This is pretty big, and it's a very good video you're going to watch very soon. We're gonna go through the whole video. It's 20 minutes. The things that are happening now are so huge. You're sitting in the historical beginnings of what could either be catastrophe or a smoothish, although uncomfortable, move into a whole new era, which will end in spiritual, psychological, and possibly physical death. Even the elect will be deceived if that were possible. Even the elect. Anyway, let's make a start. Let's not be too dramatic. I don't want to sound too much like Michael. Holy flippity flip flop flops. But I continue to be amazed. I get up in the morning, I have a coffee, and I'm watching stuff unfold. Let's put the 20-minute timer on, and let's hear from our sponsor, BB.
And cyber is a real domain of power. And cyber is a real domain of power.
Well, it's a pretty interesting time. Let's get straight into this video. Just remember that Adolf Hitler's job and a child of Rothschild, a child of IG Farben, the big Krupp and other big industries out of Germany didn't support Adolf Hitler till much later. They didn't like him at all. This was a Wall Street effort. This was a City of London effort. This was a Rothschild effort. And there's strong, strong evidence that Adolf Hitler was absolutely trained up for a short period of time in London before he came across. Adolf Hitler was known as a complete Anglophile. There's a great footage of his adjutant. I had a massive collection of documentaries on the Second World War, and I love the first-hand accounts. But his adjutant, in 1937, had married an English girl, and he had done it very slyly because he was in love, and he thought his position would really infuriate Hitler and risk his position within the hierarchy there. And he went and said, "Mein Führer, I have to tell you something." And he was on very good terms with the Führer, and he said, "I married an English girl. Is this going to be a security problem, blah, blah, blah?" And he said in complete surprise, he said, Hitler turned and said, "Wonderful, an English girl the world needs in England." And he was totally taken aback. But Hitler was a complete Anglophile. Someone had told him that England or the East India Trading Company combination of Queen Victoria and the British Empire and the Rothschild Banking Cartel Empire, East India Trading Company, would rule the waves. They would rule the subcontinent, Australia, the United States and others. They would get those features back, and Hitler would handle Eurasia. Somewhere along the lines, that's what was in the pot. But one thing you will take away from anything to do with Adolf Hitler, if you study him, he was a big fan of England, a big fan. That's why Rudolf Hess flew over and parachuted in to try to talk to some of the plotters. It's fascinating World War II history. You can get lost in it. It's a defining moment in time, the reverberations of which we are still feeling today. And I am a big World War II buff. I still have a bit of reading on the more obscure paperwork on Hitler, which is very interesting, particularly some of the interrogations that went on in the Soviet Union during the time. But we need to understand Hitler's job was to form the United States of Europe. Stalin, North Asia, Mao, South Asia, David Ben-Gurion in the hub, the Bunting Cloverleaf map of Greater Israel. That was the aircraft carriers, if you like, of the East India Trading Company that were to be set up, and they're very, very far behind schedule. Let's get into this video. It's a very good video. It's called United States of Europe, Germany's Idea for a New Europe. Germany is a big player. The German history is one of being chosen. The ramifications between Jewish power and general Germanic culture was that the Germans were chosen without question. German culture, German science was incredible. The people are incredible. On the one hand, sort of conservative. On the other hand, totally zany. The inventions that came out of Germany certainly rivaled England. England, you could argue, built in many ways the modern world with their technological achievements. But Germany was not far behind, and they had some incredible technology and achievements. And without doubt, if you read the book by Nick Cook, The Hunt for Zero Point, the aviation editor for Jones Defence Weekly, they talk about electrogravitics, anti-gravity, the Foo Fighters, the glowing orbs that were flying towards the end of the war over Germany, and incredible technological feats that Germany may well have pulled off under different circumstances. Germany is a very unique place. A very unique culture and a very difficult culture to take on. So, people who are very inventive and yet very detailed. A little like the Japanese, but I think they're more inventive than the Japanese. But yeah, that's a lethal combination that people really found difficult to fight. Their industry was incredible. Their ability to muster their people into a unified one. That is a very difficult type of a people to take on. And Germany wanted her place in the sun as the center of Europe, of course, with good relations with Russia, who would supply the raw materials. And there's been a concerted campaign, of course, to keep them apart and stop them forming up. And this is how we see the threats in the Ukraine, Kissinger and associates putting in place Putin, and the current ongoing things we see today. We need a big picture. Germany was, what I should say, elements of the German elites were involved in 9/11, very deeply involved. Mohammed Atta was handled from there and had three German friends following him around in the United States. Germany has gotten away without a lot of scrutiny, as has the French elites, who have been deeply involved in all sorts of mischief. And we also find that Germany now wants NATO out. It wants to form its own United States of Europe. This is straight out of the Hitler playbook. Let's watch it now. It's very, very interesting. I'll pop in every now and again for commentary.
On November 24th, 2021, a coalition of parties, namely the SPD, the Greens, and the FDP, reached an agreement to form a new German government, the first one involving three political parties since World War II. At the same time, a 177-page coalition document was presented, outlining the basic goals of the new government. The proposals contained therein, if implemented, would cause a breakthrough not only in Germany, but also in the entire European Union. That's because Berlin wants the EU to move towards a United States of Europe.
Whoa, profound. This is a really good video. It's very well made, and it's only 20 minutes.
Welcome to the 20s Report.
European Federal State.
The United States of Europe. This is how the plan for the new coalition was entitled by Germany's most widely read weekly, Der Spiegel, just after the coalition agreement was presented. And this is not an overstatement. For the first time so directly, all three parties emphasized that a federal European state should be the integration objective of the European Union. What would this entail? The coalition agreement talks about, among other things, the introduction of a European electoral law, transnational lists, a common foreign ministry, strengthening the power of the European Parliament, and above all, abolishing the requirement for unanimity in foreign and security policy. With the progressive disintegration of the security arrangement in Europe, the implementation of the last point would be particularly groundbreaking. The coalition agreement also mentions a pan-European infrastructure network, such as railways, the energy grid, hydrogen.
You see, no, this is all linked in with the Belt and Road. They're all in on it. This is the banking cartels of Europe and the UK. This is an internationalist parasitic element. When I say parasite, I don't mean Jewish parasite or any of those usual terms. This is an internationalist banking cartel parasite. It's a planetary trading guild. And it will shift its physical assets, whether it's human material, physical resources, or high technology, it will shift it anywhere it damn well pleases. The people that are managing this at that level are probably Germanic people who believe in the country, but the people above this are beyond that. The Klaus Schwabs are beyond that. World Economic Forum, beyond that at the top. They're the true internationalist elites.
While the ongoing Conference on the Future of Europe would serve a purpose as a starting point. The Traffic Light Coalition, so named after the colors of the parties within it, cannot be denied its ambition. It is a bold counteroffensive given the chronic weakness of the Union in recent years, revealed by Britain's exit from the EU and the response to the pandemic, with the burden of the fight resting on the shoulders of national governments. It would, however, take a huge effort to achieve this ambition. The abolition of unanimity in foreign and security policy matters, which has been on the radar of the Germans or the French for years, cannot come into force before all 27 member states voluntarily surrender their right of veto.
So it sounds very dictatorial, doesn't it? That's because it is. So how are they going to pull this off? Although he says it seems unlikely, and again, it's a really well-made video. I'd like to move into some really classy stuff like this eventually. But what would cause them to come together? Well, they'd have to be in a lot of generalized fear about losing what? Well, they're going to have to build up a big bad Russia, aren't they? A big bad bear to come and force everyone together. This was the Bolshevik point. This is a replay of the 1930s all over again. You know, they say history doesn't repeat, it rhymes. Well, this is a pretty close repeat, what we're watching here. It's quite incredible what I see unfolding.
The EU treaties would have to be changed, and these two would require a unanimous decision by all EU countries. In some of these states, referenda would have to be called. Berlin can nevertheless, and crucially, find the advocates of such a decision for the EU in Paris. France has long called for a strategic autonomy for Europe, but previously this enthusiasm was generally toned down by the calculated government of Chancellor Angela Merkel. On the subject of a new grand European strategy, Emmanuel Macron may now find it much easier to talk with Olaf Scholz, the new German Chancellor.
And it's quite possible we are seeing a real split here. This is a real genuine split between that Atlantic, the US power, and Europe. Because, I mean, Europe, you know, is not happy about the Second World War and what happened. The French have always been very uppity, and, you know, good for them. They've been very strong on maintaining their sovereignty. Winston Churchill was trying to knock off de Gaulle because de Gaulle wouldn't play ball. He was very France-orientated, good for him. But they want NATO out of Eurasia. This isn't Putin wants this, or this is the banking cartels. There's a split. There's something very, very wrong in that network now. It's not just about reshaping things, and we get it, the reshaping things from that unipolar world order into breaking it down. I believe this was the plan, but there just seems to be a lot of urgency, a lot of disruption, a lot of shock amongst so many of the elite, despite meeting at Bilderberger, despite meeting at Davos. They seem to be in a state of shock, some of them. They're seeing the centralization of power in all forms. So you get the centralization of the means of transaction in the electronic sovereign drawing rights, distributed ledger technology out of the Bank of International Settlements, the big token for the big boys and girls doing those big trades, $1 billion, $2 billion, $10 billion, $100 billion trades, wholesale trades. And then you're seeing the local central bank digital currencies from your local reserve bank and federal bank. And you're going to see the plan is to completely end all retail banks. It'll be centralized in one central bank who will put your universal basic income or whatever version you're on, your central bank digital currency, directly into your account. Everything will be centralized. The means of transaction will be centralized. The means of production, whether that's food production, factory production, raw resource production, it will all be centralized. And then the means of transportation, moving things around, that will be centralized. Like Amazon, they want to get it down to five basic front companies the world over. That's where they want to head. So centralizing the means of transaction, the means of production, and the means of transportation. And of course, government. Slimming government down to a semi-autocratic, fascistic, in the true sense of the word, fascism, corporatism. Hitler was not a fascist. He was a national socialist. He was a socialist, centralized command and control with some limited private property ownership, with some quasi-fascist aspect to it. But it was definitely socialism. You know what? It's all merging now so much. I want to say that in the big picture, it's corporatism, fascism. But there's a strong element, obviously, of this socialism within the means of the universal basic income and locking people up into smart cities. So at the end of the day, I just think it's just centralized command and control, period. And it'll either be centralized command and control with flowers or centralized command and control with a boot stamping on a human face forever, whichever way they choose to go. So again, centralization of the means of transaction, centralizations of the means of production, and the centralization of the means of transportation. This also means the security state in the UN Habitat 5G Smart City Program, full surveillance state that they're bringing in. The United States is it. Before we carry on, and we'll go for another 6 minutes on this video, you can watch the whole thing yourself. The link is below. It's an excellent video. And if you follow World War II history, you'll really see the similarities coming out now. Whatever the tactical unfolding that's about to happen, the United States is it. They've got to bring it down. They are doing everything they can. And this is where analyzing Donald Trump and that whole movement is so difficult. I think Donald Trump, I will tell you, I don't like Donald Trump. I think ethically and morally, he's a piece of garbage. But that's irrelevant for now. But Donald Trump does love America, and he identifies with America without question. The problem is he's being compromised, number one. The problem is Jared Kushner and Henry Kissinger. You let them in, you can't say you're going to clean out the swamp and then bring in Henry Kissinger. It just can't be done. You cannot have Jared Kushner in there. Now, Trump has come out. His rhetoric has been strong on Israel. He's on the record now saying that Jared Kushner was more loyal to the Israeli state than America. He's come out strongly against Bibi and said Bibi wants America to take on Israel, you know, defend Israel to the last drop of American blood. Is it a dog whistle? Is it data analytics? Is it just keeping his base happy? We don't know. But Donald Trump has done some really good things, particularly when he was under Steve Bannon, Office of Naval Intelligence. Again, this is not a purity test. I know what Steve Bannon is. I know the dodgy people he's hung around, not just his Zionist inclinations, which isn't unusual in America. And not all of Israel is bad. I hate to break it to you. It's a complicated place. The Israeli state is not all the same. It is just like Iran or any of the other states. There's a whole mix of ideas, opinions, and political persuasions and values. The point was, Bannon might have been very different had he had maintained some control over Trump. As it was, Kissinger had the fight, and Kissinger kicked him out. So until Donald Trump gets publicly rid of Henry Kissinger and gives some dog whistles or some indications or some rhetoric as to he's not going to have any more swamp monsters in his John Bolton, for God's sake, it was like, roll your eyes. Trump's just going to be another shit for brains. It's just another Rothschild. And the games go on. But sooner or later, these political personalities have got to come out swinging. The reason I only ever gave Bannon the time of day was for 3 months he came out swinging on Rothschild, City of London, Bilderberger, Davos. He came out, it was just incredible. No one seemed to give a shit. All I ever got back for friends and associates, I said, I don't care about that, for God's sake. If he's hitting the enemy, support him. I couldn't believe it. And then he was arrested, and that's it now. That's done now. So if you're not going to support people when they come out swinging, don't be surprised if this is what happens. The bottom line, they want to bring down the United States. And I've got a few Americans just giving me some indications about, I don't understand America still. I'm from Australia. We're a barbarian nation, where we used to be. And to think that you would go to West Point or go into the United States Armed Forces of any kind and then be pledging allegiance to Israel and praying for Israel, it's like I'm just rolling my eyes in disbelief. But that's the way it is. And I've really failed to understand that. But there's a big split happening. And I think they're very, very worried about this, the anti-Israel rhetoric coming out of the Mod Squad Bolshi. I mean, give them credit, the Bolshi Mod Squad of AOC and the gang. I mean, it's freaking Armstrong. That would make David Duke blush. I mean, it's hardcore. So they know they're in trouble. And what we're seeing now is if we don't get the big personalities, the James O'Keefes and all the rest of the people talking some rhetoric, talking some grand strategy, using rhetoric like City of London, banking cartels, the grand chessboard, quoting Zbigniew Brzezinski. I mean, come on, people, this isn't too much to ask, but we're not getting it. We're getting little tactical hissy fit fights in local American politics. And this, so we've got to call it what it is. More horseshit. More horseshit. Let's carry on.
In the new German government, the French hope to find a partner to change the European geopolitical vector, something Paris plans to do during its six-month leadership of the EU, which began at the start of 2022. France's goal will be to move from the EU as an economic union of nation-states to the union as a total sovereign power, deciding its own strategy and security policy.
I hope you heard that. That was a pretty big deal, what he just said. A total sovereign. What he's talking about here is no European Union with a list, these little, he's talking about forming something similar to the United States of America. That's big. Of course, Germany will dominate. France won't like it, but Germany's going to dominate. This is 1930s. This is the second go. They're not all powerful, because if they were, they would have had the United States of Europe formed a long time ago. Greater Israel would have been formed under Ben Gurion a long time ago. They are not running the CIA. They don't run MI6. They're not running GCHQ. They're not running the NSA. They're not even running the US government. They have their Hydra-like agents in each spot, influencing from the shadows. They must do it from the shadows, also via blackmail and bribery, a la Jeffrey Epstein. And the only way we're going to get to the full story of Jeffrey Epstein is when we move past fat, nobody, flubby Prince Andrew into the blackmail of chief executive officers of major corporations, shifting all that stuff to Israel, which is it's going faster and faster. I thought maybe they're back. No, it's going faster. It's the only way to explain the self-destruction of the United States. And if we don't get the rhetoric right, we can't name it. We can't fight it. But what you're seeing now in this video, this is the open formation of the United States of Europe. This is the video makers are completely right. The only way you will form the United States of Europe is to have a strong and powerful and aggressive bear, Russian Empire, rearing its ugly head, baring its claws. Wow. It's the only way, just like they did with Stalin. Just like they did with Stalin. It's identical. And now you see the union between Russia and China, scaring the crap out of everyone. This is pure Kissinger, real politic, great game, grand chessboard material. Let's keep going for a little bit longer.
However, this doesn't mean that there are no differences between Paris and Berlin. Where Macron speaks of European strategic autonomy, Scholz prefers strategic sovereignty. Not a small difference. Germany does not want strategic autonomy if it means a hard cutoff from the United States. What the German Chancellor and the French President have in common, however, is a plan for a stronger executive against the insubordination of EU member states in matters of law. This important assumption is also contained in the German coalition agreement, and it's not difficult to guess that the authors mainly had Hungary and Poland in mind here. The common German-French front can also be seen in the approach of both capitals to the policy of the Russian Federation. Macron, who seems skeptical of any direct threat from Russia, said at a recent meeting, "We must avoid any useless tensions." Scholz echoed with an equally succinct statement that "it is clear to all of us that there is no alternative to de-escalation." Yet what matters, as always, are concrete actions. And here we see a continuation of Berlin's soft approach, which is one of the main reasons for the first in decades threat of a full-scale war between two major European states, namely Russia and Ukraine. It recently came to light that Chancellor Merkel's government was blocking arms sales to Ukraine, meanwhile running supplies to Egypt, which has been criticized for human rights abuses.
Did you hear that? Merkel has been blocking the US from arming Ukraine against Russia? And just recently, as the British are flying in arms and supplies, Germany refused to let the planes fly over. They said they slow-walked the process. What's going on? Is this for real? This is very interesting. There may be a real battle brewing between the United States, the UK, Germany, and France. It's actually hopeful in a way. We'll go on for a few minutes more and then we'll wind it up.
...in Yemen. Added to this is the Nord Stream gas pipeline saga, which removes one of Kyiv's last levers vis-a-vis Moscow, the Brotherhood gas pipeline. Although one of the coalition partners, namely the Green Party, is against the project for a controversial pipe laid on the bottom of the Baltic Sea, the leader of the coalition, the SPD, is the party which started the Nord Stream project in 2005. The then-Chancellor, Gerhard Schröder
is best friends with Vladimir Putin, and I mean best friends. They are extremely close, because we're all communists.
Is from this very party, and he is now mainly known for sitting on the boards of the Russian energy giants Rosneft and Gazprom, the latter of which is the operator of Nord Stream. Now Schröder's successor, Olaf Scholz...
Okay, let's end there. Otherwise, we will go on forever. The full 20-minute is below the link. I suggest you watch it. There's a lot to talk about in here. Let's wind it up. Let's quickly wind it up by looking at Alexander Dugin. For those of you that don't know, there's Alexander Dugin, who his father was a Russian GRU general. He was briefed the officer class, the officer candidate class in Russia. He worked at Moscow State University, like where Sufyan went to train, didn't you, Sufyan? Thank you. And he wrote many, many books. The two major ones are The Fourth Political Theory and The Multipolar World Order. Now, I agree with a lot of it. He's talking about this liberalism, which is frightening. It's nihilism. It's existential nothingness. It's destroying culture. And this is where you get this liberal freedom, in the true sense of the word, that the United States was about freedom, with the sacred tradition of Julius Evola, who was also Adolf Hitler's favorite author. And also Steve Bannon's favorite author. But there's strong arguments in there for an elite class of people who refine culture, the arts, the music, architecture. This is pure Adolf Hitler stuff. And that's all right. It's because it's not wrong. But it's getting a balance in. So we've got two extreme polar opposites. They always offer us two extreme polar opposites. Drag queen story time and complete lunacy and crazy binary, there's no gender fluid. That's not an accident. That's not a natural outreach. That's funded. All right, that's the culture war. That's the crazy Rockefeller Foundation, which is the City of London funding crazy ideas to deliberately mess with your head. And then they come up and say, we need a more conservative and stable and culture, which is the way they wanted it to go back to in the first place. They want to tell you that freedom is dangerous and it doesn't work. Let's get those colonies back under control. Come back here, America. We'll get you under the Commonwealth, under the Crown Corporate. But of course, it's not the crown, the fleshly crown you're thinking of. It's the City of London Crown Corporate. And we're seeing now, I believe very strongly, that the reason they're focusing to some degree on Prince Andrew is not because he's an easy mark, but because they're warning to the royal family and Prince Charles, who's always been good buddies with the Arab royalty, and King Faisal, who he respected immensely. And Faisal was a very good king. If you must have a king, let it be King Faisal. And the British most likely would have handled the Middle East far easier before the Zionists and the American Zionist Corporation, which is no corporation at all. The Zionists just took over America, period. And now we see 2016, 2017, Al Jazeera producing those excellent documentary series on the Friends of Israel and AIPAC. And of course, at the same time, you're seeing the leaked letter between Prince Charles and Sir Lawrence Vanderpost saying, when will an American president take on the Jewish lobby? That was all done at the same time. And that was when the Epstein stuff was released, because they're putting their networks in line. The fleshly crown and the crown corporate, City of London, are two very different things. And they're having a little tiff, in my opinion. There's a lot of to-ings and fro-ings going on. But when you have someone like Alexander Dugin being feted by so many people, here he is with Israel Shamir. I mean, I like Israel Shamir behind me there. He's over there in Russia, born and bred, a true Palestinian Jew, although he doesn't want to be called Jewish anymore. There, Dugin was regularly on Alex Jones at least three times. Alex Jones went to get his Russian visa and got it. In fact, I could bring it up here just to remind you all. I'll bring it up in a minute. American liberalism must be destroyed. Dugin was there at the New Horizon Conference in Iran, May 2018. I would have been there as well at some stage, had I stayed. And we've got Phil Giraldi. I used to like Phil Giraldi. He's with the UNS Review, and Phil Giraldi is full of shit now. He will not talk about the Belt and Rotor. He might be now, but I put some stuff on my stuff on High Technology Transfer, thinking he'd liked it, and they deleted me and banned me for a week. I don't know whether it was him or the UNS Review, but there's something very wrong with Phil Giraldi, someone I respected immensely. And, of course, this was Iran, and there was also the one in Beirut. There's a few players, big names, who won't, of course, mention the things we talk about in terms of technology transfer. There's Alexander Dugin and none other than Zbigniew Brzezinski. Look, Dugin's got some good things to say. I agree with some of his stuff. It's like communitarian law. I mean, I agree with some of its stuff. It's only a little leaven in the bread, and it's the intent of the author, too. You must read that stuff. It was Nick Spiro who put me onto all of that stuff. Let's quickly get up Jones, Russia. Can I get his visa? Let's get his visa up. There it is. This was his visa that he got to Russia. So let's just remember what Jones is, that piece of garbage. Let's go through and wind up fully. And just remember that Alexander Dugin was also a big fan of Aleister Crowley. I couldn't believe it when I heard it, and he is. There's footage of him there at a We Love Aleister Crowley gathering, and you just go, what the hell? You find it online easily. Alexander Dugin, Aleister Crowley. All right, so as we end this little section, just remember, this is the grand strategy, and this is why COVID is in your face, all right? Because it's like this, COVID, 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 COVID. You go to look away, and it smacks you in the mouth, and COVID, COVID, COVID. Because you might start looking over here. Oh, what's that over there? COVID, 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 COVID. And you might start looking over here. What's that over there? Oh, COVID, 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 COVID. COVID is the cover. COVID is the cover. All right, while they set up these things now, and as they prepare to lock down the planet, desperately, desperately locking it down as they bring in the transfer over, the economic collapse and the transfer into central bank digital currencies and the whole fourth industrial revolution, great reset, moving into 5G smart cities and the great surveillance state. And everything, everywhere you look, you will find this stuff coming out of Israel. Israel was intimately involved in 9/11 and was the first to benefit hugely from all the anti-terror equipment, data and stuff. They were all in there. And now after COVID, what do we find? All the apps, all the technology is coming out of Israel. And we also will be doing a very good video of hard-to-find information on the highly secretive Israeli biological warfare program. It was a race-based program along with South Africa. They cooperated, called Project Coast, and that has now more secret than the nuclear program. No one talks about it. You want to blame Fort Detrick or even the Chinese in the Wuhan lab, but there is some oversight of their facilities. There's no freaking oversight of what's going on in Israel, and that's the point of the Israeli state. It's where they go to do their most secret stuff on the side. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's wind it up. Just remember, F. Scott Fitzgerald, during these times, we've got to, on the one hand, say, yes, it does feel hopeless. Yes, it is a waste of time. But we've also got to just keep fighting. Keep doing whatever you do. Try to be of good cheer. We don't know the end yet. There's a lot of people dormant and a lot of people working behind the scenes. We're going to get graphics designers. We're going to make up documents that you can download and print yourself, and also get a kitty of money so that we can, if you can show you're not a moron and are willing to get out there, we'll pay for the stuff yourself. Flyers are extremely powerful when you go to the right places. Go to the National Prayer Breakfast out the front. Go to your local evangelical church. Go here, go there, go and start. You're now out of their clutches. You're out of the interactive internet activities clutches, and you can start engaging in the political process. It ain't over till the fat lady sings, and they have a vested interest in making sure you feel powerless and you feel like it's the end is near. If the end's near, then why bother fighting? And they're going to continue. This is a long battle. This is a long battle, and there's lots more to say. This idiot Blinken, no one's afraid of Blinken. That's just a joke. And of course, Finland and Sweden consider NATO membership. So there's a lot of agitation going on. So remember, don't look that way, COVID, or this way, oop, COVID. And you need to start considering, and I'm going to put up some videos soon, of how you plant materials in the public domain. That's what WikiLeaks was for. So when they stick 666 on a patent and say graphene this and graphene that and microtubules and nanoparticles, and they're going to turn us into robots, I put to you, yeah, that stuff does exist, but I say that they're putting a lot of shit online as well. So you grab the bait and run with it in terror, just like they did with 5G. And we've got to talk more about 5G as well. The problem with 5G isn't that it's going to zap you. It's far safer than 4G. 5G, okay, high frequency, listen, high frequency, 28 gigahertz and above, low power, so that's 5G, high frequency, low power 5G is, for all intents and purposes, are you listening? This is not a 666. I'm trying to make the point. Is harmless. It can't penetrate a piece of paper, and a 65-watt beam-forming thing on a street is not going to zap your eyeballs out. It's horseshit. When they use that microwave technology in the military carrier control, that's 30,000 watts. If you're so fucking stupid, you can't tell the difference between a 30,000-watt microwave emitter and a 65-watt street, which is beam-forming to hundreds of people, then you need your head read. However, this thing here is a proven cancer causer, cancer clusters below the towers, proven 4G 2.1 gigahertz. Home Wi-Fi 2.4 gigahertz is all proven physiological effects on the human body from cells, DNA, blood pressure, heart rate, proven. Your mind goes foggy, it prevents the formation of memory and concentration, and yet you sit there using that all day and you don't have a care in the world. And 5G is going to kill us. Sub 6 gigahertz 5G could well be a problem in its own right. The high frequency emitting phones, which are yet to come out, could be a problem due to holding it on the antennas. All right? When a piece of paper can block a signal, it's harmless. Look up in the sky to the big fiery ball called the sun. Do you know how deadly that shit is? But you walk around in it all day, not a problem. So if we can't even get the basics right on what 5G is and isn't, then what hope is there? Because it's nothing but fear porn. And people keep quoting studies. They either misquote them and don't understand that when they say millimeter wave study, they think, oh, that's 5G. No. It's all millimeter wave. It's all. 2.1 gigahertz is a millimeter wave in its own right. They're talking about 4G as well as home wireless. That's the physiological effects. Low-powered, high-frequency 5G is, for all intents and purposes, harmless. If they beamform at higher wattages, I guess they might burn your skin, maybe, might damage your eye, maybe. Do you have any proof that they're going to use that? And if you do, and you're worried, what are you doing about it besides spreading fear porn? David Icke didn't even tell you, or Alex Jones and the rest of the fear porn specialists, didn't even tell you the difference between sub 6 gigahertz 5G, which is 3.5 gigahertz, or the high frequency. They didn't even tell you. They just said, oh, we think it might form COVID and do this. Based on what? Be very careful with this information. The dangers I see with 5G are twofold. The surveillance state. That's what freaking worries me about 5G, because it is intimately involved in the surveillance state and the smart cities program. That's what worries me. And if we can't even get the most basic facts right, if we can't even understand what 5G is and 5G isn't, then we're all is lost. We're just a joke, running from one bit of fear porn bullshit to the next. Seriously. So we got to get a little bit better with our research. That includes me. It includes being broad in your analysis. Fine. We need more broad analysis to get it across to more people. And it's happening. It's absolutely happening. But the tactical details, we need to focus on what's important and what's not important. Believe me, I don't want endless electromagnetic radiation surrounding me. I have shielding all around. I have everything way away from me because that stuff messes with my head big time. You don't have to tell me about EMF. But if you can't even do basic differences, most of you couldn't tell me what 2.1 gigahertz is, 4G, 2.4 gigahertz home Wi-Fi, 3.5 gigahertz, sub 6 gigahertz 5G, 28 gigahertz all the way up to 60 and 70 gigahertz. You can't even know the bloody difference. And yet you're going to run around spreading that fear porn? None of us want to be entangled in this electromagnetic web, but we better get our facts straight. And when we suddenly find a patent telling us very scary things about future technologies with vaccination and vaccine passports and the mark of the beast ending in 666, that's Bill Gates having a laugh. So we need to very carefully approach this information. Very carefully. We need to be very careful about who we team up with. Very careful about the public heroes they put in front of us. We need to neither reject nor embrace. Just put them in front of your desk and leave them there until you get further information. This is an age of total and absolute deceit, ladies and gentlemen. We're now seeing, while we're smacked in the head with COVID every 5 minutes, we're now seeing the formation of these big blocks of this multipolar world order. East Asia, Eurasia, you know, it's straight out of 1984, forming these big blocks that they can then control. And to form those big blocks that they can control with either a single or a small elite, with new laws, new counterterrorism laws, new strategy, new tactics, new technology, you've got to put dictators in place and you've got to scare the crap out of people. And that's what COVID was. I don't think they even care if they implement the full program. As long as you're not looking at the geopolitical shenanigans, the grand chessboard maneuverings that are going on, as long as the analysis stays focused on this fear porn and we don't see that they released a tiger into the town square. We were gathering around Dracula's castle. Israel was shitting its pants. The city of London was being named by top people. They had to release a virus, a tiger. Does that mean you ignore the tiger? No, you might get eaten. It's freaking dangerous. You don't ignore it, but you walk and you chew gum. And all I saw was a crowd running for the COVID door. And they're saying, I've been banned. I'm a hero. Send me money. I said, well, if you want to run into that one, you go knock yourselves out. I'll handle the grand strategy of the grand chessboard geopolitical maneuverings while you all jerk off with your friends over COVID. Because that's all you were doing, jerking off. If you don't get political, you can sit there and go to every protest you like, and the coppers are just going to bludgeon you with their freaking truncheons, and they're going to start locking people up. And you better get ready to do hunger strikes and start being as obnoxious as possible. But you're going to have to walk and chew gum on these issues. You need both. You need an eye on COVID, and you better have five eyes on the geopolitical maneuverings that are going on, and you need to refine that grand narrative, grand strategy narrative, and start feeding it to the right people. It's good to see that Diane Ploss did that interview with the American Partisan, the Special Operations Command people, 82nd Airborne, a very big network, including Matt Bracken, I might add, and others, SEALs, combat application, a whole range of people, a whole range of armed forces personnel serving and retired. Diane Ploss, and I will post that interview with the American Partisan very soon. So good luck, and I hope Diane Ploss and others will work with those guys at American Partisan. They haven't put a foot wrong. I'll speak with Johnny the Paratrooper soon as well, and we'll do a few interviews. And those guys are very smart as a tack, very wise. They understand how the game's played. They read books. They're very, very switched on. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Good luck. Remember, keep your chin up. Jumping laggy, jumping nanti. Ciao for now, and adios, muchachos. F. Scott Fitzgerald, quote, "The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing ideas in the mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. One should, for example, be able to see that things are hopeless and yet be determined to make them otherwise. This philosophy fitted on to my early adult life when I saw the improbable, the implausible, often the impossible, come true."